Tonight on With the First Pick, Rick, we are recapping the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm Ryan Wilson. That, of course, is Rick Spielman, our general manager. And, Rick, usually we do this during daylight hours. It is after 1 a.m. Eastern time, but that's okay. It was a fantastic first round. It's all about the quarterbacks. We're going to do what we do here on the first night of the draft and talk a little winners and talk a little looters. I think all the young men who got drafted are winners, of course, but there are some situations that make you question maybe what teams were thinking and why players ended up where they went. By the way, you and I are going to be winners. Debo's going to play a clip a little later of us absolutely getting something right over the last 365 days, so I look forward to that. In the meantime, I know you're hungry, but how are you holding up otherwise after a pretty eventful first round?
No, it was an exciting night. I know we thought there were going to be a lot of movement, and I really was honed in on your mock draft. I thought there would be a lot more movement in the first 10 picks, but that didn't happen. But it was a quarterback-driven draft. This is a quarterback-driven league, so we saw that unfold tonight.
Let's start with the quarterbacks. Debo wants us to get right into the grades. Quick reaction grades, and then we'll circle back here. Bears, Caleb Williams, number one.
A.
The Commanders right after that, Jaden Daniels.
A.
Patriots did move off the spot, Drake May.
A.
Okay, this is getting repetitive here. Okay.
I'm a little bit more generous than Pete Prisco was earlier in the show.
Let's see. At number eight, the Falcons take Michael Penix Jr.
Ooh, that one is a little bit peculiar in my mind.
I need a grade. You can say.
Well, I'm going to say this. Are we grading the move or are we grading the player?
We're not grading the player. We're grading the situation in which the player landed.
Okay. The situation the player landed, D, but I think the player is a good football player, is going to be a really good quarterback in this league.
Right. And in my final big board, I had Michael Penix Jr. just a hair ahead of J.J. McCarthy. That's ended up playing out in real time.
So we don't want to punish the player.
Not
we
at
just
all.
Want to punish.
I don't question want to even, the move.
Question the move, yeah. Not the player.
And we'll talk about that in more detail in a second. I'm going to get through these quick grades here. At 10, the Vikings only had to move up one spot for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, no, and I thought that was a B+.
B+. And finally, and we talked about this earlier on the 2 p.m. show, CBS Sports Network will be on Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Network again, previewing day two. But we mentioned rumors that maybe Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos were going to be married, and now they are officially married at 12. What's the grade on that?
I think that's a C. And in my opinion, we saw what Sean Payton did with Drew Brees, but we also saw what Sean Payton did with Russell Wilson, and that didn't work out very well. So
right. This
is handpicked by Sean Payton. They had to get a quarterback coming out of this draft. They got the sixth quarterback probably on everybody's boards. I don't know how many people actually had him as a first-round talent. It's going to be interesting to see how it transitioned, the offense he ran in Oregon to what he's going to run in Denver. But Sean Payton, you got to trust him as a quarterback developer. We'll see that unfold over the next couple of years.
All right. And you know, six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, that's never happened in human history. We've had six quarterbacks go in the first round, but you have to go back to 1983, in which Dan Marino was one of the last quarterbacks in that first round and ended up being one of the best quarterbacks. Obviously, John Elway was in that class. But in terms of our purposes here, let's stick with 12 and Bo Nix for a moment. And you mentioned Russ Wilson and Sean Payton being like oil and water. The difference for me, at least on the surface, is that Sean Payton got to pick this quarterback. And that's a huge deal, right?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. This is his hand-picked quarterback, so he is going to be judged off how Bo Nix develops.
And the other issue in my mock draft that was outlandish, one might call it, because it had seven trades in it, mostly at the top, and you pointed this out, the Broncos didn't have the ammunition draft-wise to move up if they wanted to. But let's talk about the team that traded up from 11, not to 3 or 4, but to 10. The Vikings had 10. They had pick number 23, which they traded back into the first round a few weeks ago with the Houston Texans. And we were all convinced, I would imagine you were too, that they were going to have to get off those two first to get up to the top five for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, no. And I think as they saw it unfold and none of the quarterbacks, they went 1, 2, 3. And then the Giants did not take a quarterback. They went with Malik Nabers. Then they knew that J.J. McCarthy was eventually going to fall to them. I don't know what happened at 10 with the New York Jets, why they made that flip. I imagine maybe the Las Vegas Raiders or even the Denver Broncos were trying to maybe jump the Minnesota Vikings, especially after Michael Penix Jr. went at 8. So J.J. McCarthy was maybe the last true first rounder left. So they did a move to make sure that they got the quarterback they wanted, even though it was up one spot.
And you thought maybe something could have been up when that trade happened for the reasons you're laying out. But that's the price of poker if you're the Vikings. You can't mess around there.
No, and you needed to come out with a quarterback. We say this all the time. Last year we said the Houston Texans. This year, Minnesota Vikings were in that boat, and that's why they probably made that move earlier in the month or way back in March or whenever they made that trade with the Houston Texans to make sure they were going to land a quarterback and had enough ammunition to do that if they needed to.
So I'm just going to touch on this briefly because we want to stick on these quarterbacks for a while because obviously they're the engine that drives the NFL to some degree. But again, the Vikings kept pick 23, then they traded up to pick 17, and they got your best edge rusher, Dallas Turner, a lot of teams' best edge rusher, Dallas Turner, even though he wasn't the first edge rusher off the board. We'll talk about that in a second. But this feels like, just preliminarily, if we're giving grades, J.J. McCarthy, trade up one spot, trade up a few more spots for Dallas Turner, and you come out of the first round with that, and you have your 2025 first-rounder. This is as close to an A-plus you can get.
Yeah, no, and I thought it was an A-draft for the Minnesota Vikings to go and get Dallas Turner, especially when they lose DJ Wonnum, especially when they lose Danielle Hunter.
Yep.
I know they signed Grenard from Houston, Van Ginkle from Miami, but now to add a premier pass rusher like a Dallas Turner, they have to get pressure on the quarterback in order for Brian Flores' defense to thrive, and I think they were able to accomplish that by getting Dallas Turner.
All right. Let's talk about eight. We're going in reverse order here, working our way back up to the top, where this is curious. And in the moment it was curious, you had stepped out. We were in the studio with our buddy Joe Musso. You stepped out for a moment. The pick happened, and when you came back, you thought we were kidding when we told you Michael Penix Jr. ended up in Atlanta. We listened to the post-draft first-round press conference from the GM and the head coach, Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris. And I get the explanation on some level. They don't want to be picking this high in the near future. They have Kirk Cousins on the 4-year, $180 million deal, not $90 million guaranteed. And to ensure that they got their quarterback, they went ahead and took Michael Penix Jr. at 8. It doesn't make sense on any level. And what's compounding things, and one of the first things you said before we saw the report, and Diana Rossini was one of the first people to report it, Kirk Cousins found out when we found out. They called him as they were on the clock, and they had previously, according to reports, told Kirk that they were going to take a quarterback probably on day 2. A lot of moving parts. How do you wrap your head around it if you're Kirk and his agent? And how, as a Falcons fan, are you making sense of this when Byron Murphy II was there? Dallas Turner, Leiatu Latu, Jared Verse were there. Cornerback, it doesn't matter. Even if you took Roma Dunze there, which we gave our buddy Brian McFadden a hard time about on the pre-draft mock draft we did yesterday. This feels like the craziest of crazy picks.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't understand it.
And again, not because of Michael Penix Jr.
No, we just got to be clear because we think both of us think Michael Penix Jr. as a football player and as a quarterback. We talked maybe the purest thrower out of any of these quarterbacks that came out in the draft. So the moves that the Atlanta Falcons made this offseason, signing Kirk Cousins, getting Mooney from Chicago, getting Rondale Moore from Arizona, was it kind of an okay, we can win the NFC South. Now if we can add to the defense in the draft, this should give us the beat to potentially be the league dog in the NFC South and maybe advance in the playoffs. But a move like this, and I get the explanation. When you hear it, it's like, well, we're planning for the future as well because they don't think they'll be picking in the top 10 ever again. So this was a little bit like, if you want to compare it to Green Bay, when they had Brett Favre and they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
When they had Aaron Rodgers, they drafted Jordan Love. But those picks were in the 20s. Those weren't in the top 10. You had an opportunity to maybe take a top 10 player that would made not only a difference this year, but down the road, and they elected to go quarterback. Now, who knows, because Kirk Cousins has, you know, I think they can get out of the contract after the next 2 years. But who knows what the quarterback class, it may not be as strong next year, but I don't even know what the 2026 class is going to look like yet. You can probably have filled it then. So,
by the way, my first overall pick in 2026, Arch Manning, just so you know. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, they don't have to worry about it because apparently they're going to be picking in the 20s or 32nd, according to them. So it was just hard to kind of wrap around what they were thinking. I think, like you explained it, you understand it a little bit about getting that position solidified, not only with Kirk Cousins in the now, but also with Michael Penix Jr. in the future, so they don't have to worry about this position for maybe, you know, hopefully the next 10 years, and they can build around these two quarterbacks.
And the other comp I made, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. The other comp for me was just last year when the Detroit Lions took Hendon Hooker, but they took Hendon Hooker in the third round. He's an older player. I think he's 25 now. And Jared Goff is your guy. And has Jared Goff gotten his new deal yet?
Or no.
He's set to get that new deal probably. But you understood in the third round, not necessarily in the first. And Michael Penix, the expectations were that he was going to probably be a first-round pick. And it just didn't – the fit didn't make sense, especially when – if you told me they were getting Grady Jarrett 2.0 and Byron Murphy, I would imagine the fans would have been excited. I would imagine the locker room would have not been confused. And if you're a general manager, first of all, the owner has to okay this, so clearly right. Arthur Blank's down with it. But are you concerned about how this affects, number one, your franchise quarterback, Kirk Cousins, but also the locker room as a whole?
No, I know Kirk Cousins and the type of person he is. So he'll be very accepting. He'll help bring along Michael Penix Jr., although I know he's very competitive and thinks he's going to be the guy for the next 3 or 4 years there at least. The question I'm going to ask you is this. If Michael Penix Jr. was your guy, and everybody anticipated him being a first-round pick, but I don't think anyone anticipated him being in the top 10. Why would you spend all that money on Kirk Cousins knowing that you could probably get Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick?
All right, here's the deal. Debo showed me this clip of what looks like Terry Fontenot explaining to Arthur Blank. They're having a conversation after the pick. Maybe he's explaining the pick. Maybe they're talking about why didn't they give Rick Spielman dinner up here in Stamford, Connecticut. But here's the question to you. Do you have to justify this to the owner?
You're not doing this move without getting a check mark next to that, the name
right.
from the ownership.
So they're not calling Mr. Blank the same time they're calling Kirk.
No, God, no. No, this I would be shocked if that happened. This was had to be discussed weeks before and even going into the final meetings today.
And the other thing you brought up earlier when we were talking about this on HQ is that even before they signed Kirk Cousins, the Falcons did, they knew who Michael Penix Jr. was, and they probably had a good sense, based on the same people that we talked to, that Michael Penix Jr. was almost certainly going to be middle of the first round, best case, and he went to the Senior Bowl, and he was okay. He didn't set the world on fire. There was no buzz on Michael Penix Jr. coming out. So they knew that, even though they may have told a different story in the press conference on Thursday night.
Yeah, no, and that's what we were just talking about. Is that if you knew Michael Penix Jr. was going to be available mid to late and you have a top 10 pick, then why sign Kirk Cousins to that kind of contract knowing that for sure you're going to be able to get Michael Penix Jr. at number 8 overall? And he's a little bit older. He's played 6 years of college football. He's going to have to sit, but out of all these quarterbacks, he may have been the most ready to come in as a rookie and make a contribution besides Caleb Williams.
I haven't scrolled the social media, so I don't know if there's a more peculiar pick we've seen in terms of fit than this one. Maybe Jalen Reichert going to the Eagles before Justin Jefferson was drafted.
Move on.
That was more for Debo than for you. So that's interesting, but we'll spend a lot of time talking about that. Maybe less interesting because the Patriots actually say put at 3 because we were trying to convince ourselves, me in particular, that maybe they trade down if the draft hall was there. They say put, they take Drake May. That feels like a layup.
Yeah, no, and he was the second or third best quarterback, depending on which team you talk to. We all talked about he had a better 2022 season than he did in 2023. Didn't have the same weapons around him. Tried to force things, but he's only 21 years old. He does have a track record of being a very good collegiate football player, and he has a high ceiling. Mm-hmm. So he has an opportunity to come in. He doesn't have to start right away. He'll be behind a great mentor in Jacoby Brissett. And then when he's ready, he'll be able to step in. And hopefully New England got their quarterback issues resolved because they can't continue with what they did with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe.
No, and obviously there's a new coaching staff. Elliot Wolf's now the general manager there. Pick 2, Commanders took Jaden Daniels, which we had known for what felt like maybe a week or so. And then the Bears and Caleb Williams. We don't have to spend long on those two, but I'll just say this about Caleb Williams. It feels like he goes to a pretty unique situation for a team picking first overall, and that team has a chance to win. I'll give you the over-under right now, the Ryan Wilson over-under. 9.5 games next year. They're going to win more or less than 9.5 games.
No, I think they'll be right in that. I think they'll be in a mix for the NFC North. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays on. But look at all the weapons they were able to put around Caleb Williams. And you want to talk about winners and losers. Caleb Williams is a winner because of all the weapons they put around him.
Huge winner. And we'll talk about pick 9 in a little more detail. But Roma Dunze in a bad consolation prize after Caleb Williams. 4 quarterbacks in the top 8 picks. That's a record. 5 in the top 10, 6 in the top 12, 8 quarterbacks and wide receivers in the top 10 pick. The first defensive player digging off the board to pick 15. 14 straight picks on the one side of the ball, obviously. 23 offensive players taken in the first round. And you said it, this is an offensive league. And the bad teams are socking up on offense, and the good teams are circling back and get the defenders to try to stop those bad teams from trying to get better.
Yeah, no, this is a quarterback-driven league, and that's why you've seen the 6 quarterbacks go, because you have to take a swing if you don't have one. You have to protect the quarterback, so you've seen the run on the offensive lineman, and you have to have guys that can be able to catch the ball and make explosive plays because of the way the NFL has become a space game on offense and how important that receiver position is. I think that's why you've seen the runs that we saw on the offensive linemen, the quarterbacks, and the receivers.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break, so don't go anywhere, Rick. When we come back, we're going to talk about some winners and losers in addition to the Falcons' curious decision, and we'll talk about that right after this. All right, nothing like seeing an advertisement for Big Ten football coming to CBS. our journey never ends, Rick. So tomorrow, or I should say Sunday, we're going to start studying tape for 2025, so get ready.
Brian, did you know there are 365 days until the 2025 NFL draft?
That is not something I want to hear right now. All right, so at the top, the biggest loser for me are just the Falcons situation. Again, we love Michael Penix Jr. He was my QB4 just ahead of J.J. and behind the big three that went 1, 2, and 3. But it's puzzling, and there's no other way to talk about it. I would imagine – here's the other thing, quickly, and we don't have to hang on this, but – this is now going to be a talking point from now until all the players are on the record, including Kirk Cousins, who's going to be asked about it a bunch, especially if, for example, in week 2 of the preseason, Michael Penix Jr. throws for 250 yards in 5 series or whatever. So are these conversations you're having, or you don't care about that? You just want to get the best player that you want?
Yeah, well, they took the best player they wanted to take. That's why they drafted Michael Penix Jr. So you're going to have to put on your big boy pants, as we like to say. You know, we talked about the Chicago Bears potentially having Caleb Williams and Justin Field in that quarterback room. But they ended up moving Justin Field to your Pittsburgh Steelers. But Kirk Cousins, and it's going to be interesting, the dynamic that's in that quarterback room this year. And I know what a first-class human being that Kirk Cousins is, and he'll be very accepting. And Michael Penix Jr. is coming in and is like, well, I was the 8th overall pick, but I may not see the field for the next 2 years if Kirk Cousins stays healthy.
Which is also, he may have been having the same conversations with his agent that Kirk was having with his about, okay, how does this make sense?
What? Where am I going? Oh, it's the squirrel hour. It's getting a little squirrely.
It is here. All right. So as I read the rundown, let me ask you this. J.J. McCarthy, is he a loser because he is now the 5th quarterback taken? He fell probably to the right place, but in the sense that, and this has nothing to do with J.J. McCarthy, but he was pushed up to pick 2 or pick 3 or pick 4 as we made our way through the draft process, and maybe he went right around the range he should have gone, maybe even a pick or two higher. Does that constitute as QB5 that he's a loser, or is it?
No, that's if I can say, stupid statement.
I know what you're about to say. Thank you for catching yourself.
No, I think that he's a winner because he's going to a Minnesota Vikings offense that has Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've got a lot of playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. He's going to an offensive head coach, Kevin O'Connell, who has a knack for developing quarterbacks. They brought in Josh McCown, who was a quarterback coach in Carolina, who's also a quarterback guru. So I think this is a great situation for J.J. McCarthy to come in. And he doesn't have to play right away.
No.
Maybe Sam Darnold's going to be the guy for a while to be the bridge, stopgap, all the terms you like to use.
Yeah.
But when J.J.'s ready, they'll play him. But he doesn't have to get pushed right away into that position.
And we talked about this a lot on Thursday night. Half the quarterbacks work out in the first round. So 3 of these guys almost certainly aren't going to be
there. Or traded.
It could be Kenny Pickett or Zach Wilson or whomever, Justin Fields. Winner Caleb Williams, we talked about him briefly. Roma Dunze is a fantastic addition. And I mentioned this. He's also a culture guy. So that's, you know, they traded for Chase Claypool a few years ago, and he was not a culture guy. He had the athleticism, and maybe he's similar ability-wise to Roma Dunze. But Roma Dunze, well, I mean, coming out, he had 9 touchdowns his rookie season. But Roma Dunze is a different sort of cat.
Yeah, no. Roma Dunze is a much better athlete. I thought Claypool was speed, big, but straight line. Roma Dunze is a better route runner. I think he's more consistent going up and catching the ball in 50-50 situations. And I think he's a better runner after the catch with the ball in his hand.
Okay, you're not going to get much pushback from me because he's now in Miami and he's not playing a lot. So Chase Claypool is. All right, loser. I don't think you'll disagree with me on this one. You and I both love Bryce Young, maybe as much as his family does. I would imagine David Tepper's wondering, we could have had C.J. Stroud. or I know you can battle through this and think rationally about this, or not trade up and you could have had Caleb Williams. You have to think about those things, do you not?
Why do you think about them? That's past. It's history. It's done. Okay. Move forward. Have a positive attitude. We're in the bright spot of the NFL season where everybody is getting better. And I think the Carolina Panthers got better with drafting Leggett. Now, maybe Dave Canales sees a little bit of Mike Evans in him because of the way he can vertically stretch the field. So why dwell on the past? We're moving forward. We're in the future. We got a new head coach, new general manager. Let's go.
Scorley Spielman is not one to put up with foolishness at this hour.
No, I'm not.
So, but here's the thing, and this is funny because Xavier Leggett is as country as they come when you hear him talk. He's from South Carolina, and it's sort of refreshing. And when you wonder, because he came onto the scene when we watched the UNC South Carolina game, Spencer Rattler, he was balling out, and he did that throughout the season. But it was funny because he told the media that Dave Canales said, I'm going to draft you if you're there at 33, and Canales had to backpedal before the actual draft took place. I'm sure he didn't plan on Xavier saying that. But they went up and got him at 32, and he is raw. A.D. Mitchell was there. Ladd McConkey was there. But to your point, he's stretching the field like no one did on that team at any point last season.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure they did a lot of research on all these receivers, and it was, did they think that potentially that the Buffalo Bills were going to take Leggett over an AD or something like that? So they decided to get aggressive to make sure they went to get the receiver they wanted to fit their offense the best. And like I said, maybe Dave Canales sees a little Mike Evans in Leggett just because of his size and his ability to run straight line and his ability to stretch the field.
And the fact that he can create separation down the field is something they did not have last year. And I'm assuming that's one of the first things Dave Canales pointed to. If I could see it, everyone on planet Earth could see it. So Xavier Leggett feels that need. I had them in my last mock draft trading back into the first round for Brock Bowers, who was long gone. But at least I got the Panthers right. All right, here's a winner, since we're only talking positives. With Happy Spielman here. The Giants for not forcing the quarterback situation. And our buddy, coordinating producer Scott Riley, is one of the biggest sports fans ever. He's a huge Giants fan, and he was Drake Mayer bust for the last few weeks. And he looked sort of disappointed that they got Malik Nabers, but I would imagine you should be ecstatic that you got Malik Nabers if you're Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that's the number one thing they needed to count. They addressed the offensive line by going out and spending some money in free agency to fix that offensive line. They don't have any playmakers. Hopefully, Jalen Hyatt develops. They took him, I believe, in the third round last year. But adding Malik Nabers, now maybe we can truly see what Daniel Jones is. So if he has enough offensive weapons around him, they're going to have to make a decision on a quarterback after this year. But they're giving Daniel Jones every opportunity to succeed, especially drafting, to me, the most explosive receiver in this year's draft.
So no
explosive, I mean by his athletic movement skills and his ability to separate and his ability to make big plays with the ball in his hand.
Would you, Rick Spielman, have considered J.J. McCarthy at 6 for the Giants?
No. I think with the commitment they made last year to Daniel Jones, they have to do everything in their power to make sure he has the best chance to have success. And I think that's what they've done since this whole offseason, like I said, addressing the offensive line issues, now getting an explosive playmaker like Malik Nabers.
All right. Losers – in general, just the defensive players, because they didn't go off the board till pick 15. Laiatu Latu was sort of surprised. The Colts took him as the first defensive player. Fantastic edge rusher, but we know about the history of injuries. So if he's healthy, I get it. But I was sort of surprised that the Falcons, for example, maybe the Bears to a lesser degree, but Roma Dunze was there, didn't consider an edge rusher or Byron Murphy there.
Yeah, no, and we didn't see any defensive players, like you said, till pick 15. But then all these teams that were the playoff teams, they got a lot better on the defensive side of the ball, probably because they're all set on the offense, and that's why they're in the playoffs. But now they were able to get some very good defensive players, whether it was corner. I mean, how does Quinyon Mitchell end up in Philadelphia? How does Detroit Lions go up and get another Alabama DB in Terrion Arnold, who I thought was the best corner coming out of this year's draft? So the edge rusher, and for LA Rams to get a Jared Verse where they were able to pick him. So I thought there was a lot of great value for those teams getting defensive players in the bottom half of the first round.
All right, Debo, do you want to fire up that Quinyon clip that makes me and Rick look smart from November 16th?
I'm going to go with an unknown corner.
Unknown. How unknown? Oh, wait. Let me guess. Is it Toledo kid?
Yes.
Ah, you watched him? He's good, right?
He's very good.
Quinyon. What's Quinyon's last name? Quinyon Mitchell.
Yep.
He made my top 50. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that was very good. I went between him and Josh Newton, but I like Mitchell.
You're going to like Quinyon Mitchell, Debo, if you haven't watched him yet on your own, and you very well may have knowing you. He's good. That's a good. Nice, Rick. That's a home run for at the bottom of the ninth there. Well done.
Yeah, no one.
Love it. Love it.
I haven't heard his name.
How about that? We got one right. November 16th. I think that was 200 or maybe 161 days until the 2024 NFL draft. 161 days later, you had him going to the Eagles. Little known Quinyon at the time. I saw Nick Saban tweet out, or I saw someone tweet out the comments he made while he was working the draft telecast today, that they tried to get Quinyon in the portal, and Quinyon was loyal to Toledo. He stayed there. He was an SEC talent if he wanted to be.
Yeah, no, and I think there was some question about him playing at Toledo, playing against the MAC competition, nothing against those schools, but it's not like going against SEC competition and the athletes in down there. But I think he answered all the questions when he went down to the Senior Bowl and was by far the best corner down there. Really showed that he can play man coverage, he can play zone coverage. All the things, he started checking the boxes. He checked the box at the combine on a speed he ran in the 40. I think he ran in the 4.3s.
Yes, he did.
And then probably the pro day workouts. So he was a kid that continued to ascend. I thought Debo maybe had been a little bit more optimistic having the Philadelphia Eagles picking at 32 at the time we did that.
Oh, yeah, that's typical Debo. But he's claiming that he and the Eagles are huge winners. Along with the Vikings and Rams, we talk about the Vikings getting Dallas Turner, we talk about these defensive players, and then Jared Verse to the Rams. The Rams have been hitting home runs without first-round picks. Jared Verse falls into their lap, and this feels like a guy he's going to come in and be pretty productive pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, and they just needed pass rushers, and I can see them trying, to me, if Byron Murphy II was there, but that was a great pick by the Seattle Seahawks because you can't find guys like that that are interior pass rushers that also can play the run equally as well. So to get a Jared Verse where the L.A. Rams got him, I think was an incredible value for them.
And then, of course, winner, the Alabama to Detroit pipeline. 2024, Terrion Arnold. The only time previously he'd been to Detroit was to visit the Lions on his 30 visit. Jahmyr Gibbs and Brian Branch last year. And Terrion had said after he was drafted that he talked about Brian about rejoining forces in the secondary. It worked at Alabama. I would imagine there's a good chance it works in Detroit. And then, of course, J-Mo. Transferred from Ohio State to Alabama. He was their 2022 first-round pick. Brian Branch was a second-round pick. He should have been a first-round pick.
That's kind of like the Alabama of the North.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I thought they got great value in Terrion Arnold. He can play Nick. He can play outside. You know, with the Cam Sutton situation, they had to let him go with the off-field concerns. So corner was a desperate need. You know the offensive firepower they have, why they got to the NFC Championship game. They needed to shore up defense, especially at the corner position, and they moved up to make sure they secured Terrion Arnold. And he was not maybe as fast. He ran, I think, a 4.51, mm-hmm. but they hit pretty well on Brian Branch, who also didn't run fast, but plays a lot faster.
Yeah, there's something there. Debo notes that the grades that are popping up on the screen for the YouTube viewers are not from me and Rick. So if you want to yell at someone, yell at Prisco CBS, Pete Prisco's grades, which he's got a little soft in his grading this time around. But one last thing here, one last winner. And it finally occurs to me. Ricky Spielman likes Ricky Pearsall going 31 to the 49ers. Do you like that fit in San Francisco? What does that say to you about the other wide receiver there?
Well, the thing is, I loved Ricky Pearsall. I think he's going to be a very good receiver at the NFL level. I think he can play outside. He can play inside. He ran 4.3s. He's tough as nails when he comes across the middle. Will make contested catches. He's a better run after catch guy than I think people give him credit for. But that just tells me, and I don't know what you think about it, is Mr. Ayuk, is he going to be a 49er going forward? But by taking a receiver in the first round, that's telling me they're probably not going to be able to get an extension done with Brandon Ayuk. So he may be seeing his last days in San Francisco before he moves on to some other team.
And the other thing is, you feel like Ricky's going to probably be pretty successful in that offense?
Yeah, everybody. how can you doubt? I mean, John Lynch and what Kyle Shanahan has done and the talent that they have drafted. Now, everybody makes a whiff. They whiffed on Trey Lance, but they hit on Brock Purdy. But they're able to put together a very talented roster, and that's why they're competing every year to get into the Super Bowl. So I'm not going to doubt them and their decisions, and I think they know what – they have proven they know what they're doing, especially selecting offensive playmakers.
All right, two other things quickly. We'll get to break, and then we'll do some $1 bet recaps, and then we'll get out of here, Rick. But let's talk about the Chiefs Bills. You didn't seem too perplexed by it, but I could not understand why the Bills would trade up with the Kansas City Chiefs to allow the Kansas City Chiefs to get 4-2-1 Xavier Worthy when the Kansas City Chiefs have been the bane of the Bills' existence. And the Bills ended up trading out of the first round altogether. And maybe there's a wide receiver, Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell, someone else they're looking at. But why are you gift wrapping Xavier Worthy to a team that doesn't need Xavier Worthy because it's going to terrorize the rest of the league?
Yeah, well, that was, I think, the Buffalo was looking at, and it is trading to maybe your arch nemesis.
Yeah,
if that's
course.
A, you know, in the AFC.
Are you trading the Justin Jefferson pick to the Packers? You're not doing that.
No, I'm probably not. But what I'm thinking and what Brandon Bean, I think, is thinking, and I'm just putting myself in his shoes, is that there are still three or four receivers that we really like. I like these bigger receivers up in Buffalo because of the cold weather games, the snow, and everything that we have to deal with down the stretch of the season and into the playoffs. But I trade back. I still have a ton of holes to fill. We had a lot of roster cuts we had to make. This gives me enough draft capital to fill those other holes because of the cap situation we were in. They'll get a receiver, but they're going to also be able to fill some of the defensive needs that they still have out there in the draft.
Debo just flashed a graphic if you're listening, and typically trading up can be precarious. Here's what happens when the Bills traded up the last three times. Xavier Worthy, we'll see if it works out. I feel pretty good about it. Trent McDuffie, one of the best slot corners in the NFL already. Let's see, 2017, some guy named Patrick Mahomes traded with the Bills. Boy. All right.
That's not a very good history for Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo, stop. Stop what you're doing. One last thing. We have to give some love to the offensive line. I'm going to go through the offensive linemen that were drafted. And just tell me one or two that you really like to fit. Joe Alt to the Chargers. Where is he going to play? J.C. Latham to the Titans. Again, it feels like if you swap those two players with those teams, that makes a little more sense. Olu Fashanu to the Jets feels like a grand slam. Tully Fuaga went to the Saints. It makes sense there with Ryan Ramczyk. Amarius Mims, 18 to the Bengals. I'd heard some murmurs of that potentially happening. And Troy Faltanu, my guy, big Troy Polamalu fan growing up, to the Steelers. Any one of those stick out to you as potentially special?
Yeah, I love the Troy pick.
Do you?
To the Steelers,
oh,
yeah. No, I thought Fashanu was a great selection for the Jets. Everybody thought they were going to push all in and maybe go Brock Bowers, but they solved their left tackle issue for years to come, in my opinion. I think Smith is just maybe a plug-in guy. He hasn't been healthy for 17 games over the last three or four years. They have to be able to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. And I think if something does happen with Tyron Smith, if he does get hurt, they got to plug and play left tackle right away.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And Debo has sent me the updated dollar bet winners and losers. I see a lot of red. And we'll also go through our best players available, and we'll talk about that right after this. Well, we're back live. So okay, that's what I'm here for. All right, so here's a quick update via Debo of the $1 bets. I won the first one out of the gate. Jayden Daniels was drafted before Drake May.
I conceded that earlier today.
Thank you. I needed the 100 pennies, so it worked out for me. Terrion Arnold and Cooper DeJean before Nate Wiggins.
Did I win that?
Debo says yes, but Cooper is still out there.
Right.
Oh, no. I won that one, Debo, because Nate Wiggins is off the board.
Yeah, but did Terrion Arnold go before Nate Wiggins?
Yeah. Okay. All right, I see. Debo's right. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes before one of the first three quarterbacks. No, he did not. So I won that one.
I said that.
Yeah, right?
Remember that.
You love. Well, okay. Graham Barton selected in the 20s. You said yes. I said no. Dang it. Who's drafted first, J.C. Latham or Telly Fuaga? You, of course, said J.C. You won that one. Will Kool-Aid be drafted in the first round? I said no. I was actually, in retrospect, sort of surprised that he wasn't.
Yep.
Who's drafted first, Kool-Aid or Jordan Morgan? I said Jordan Morgan.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is crazy, but it happened. Will there be three wide receivers selected in the top 19 picks? Why would I say no to that?
I don't know. What were you thinking?
What day did I say that? It must be August. Roma Dunze over under 11.5. He got to nine. Yeah. Okay. So you got that one pretty easily. Ricky Pearsall over under 33.5. You said under?
Yes.
That's pretty remarkable. All right. You're pretty good at this. Who's drafted first? Dallas Turner, Jared first. I went with Jared. Of course, Dallas went first. Jared last at 19 to go to the Rams. And then quickly, let's go. We still have some picks out there, some dollar bets out there, and we'll get to those. That top 19 pick Debo said was early April. April 2022. unbelievable. What is going on? All right. And this best players available for tomorrow. We'll do this quickly. Who are you most surprised that wasn't selected? I'll give you a handful of names, and you're going to know the characters here. Ladd McConkey, Cooper DeJean, Johnny Newton, A.D. Mitchell, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Who's number one on that list?
Yes. Right? I think they're all first-round talented players. I think this was such a top-heavy draft that those guys got pushed to the top of the second round. I bet you want to put another dollar.
What are you going to say next?
None of those guys. How many guys are left?
The ones I mentioned, Ladd, Cooper, Johnny, AD, Kool-Aid.
I bet you all of them are gone before the 10th pick in the second round. Want to bet a dollar on that?
Yeah, let's bet a dollar on that. That's a good bet. I was surprised that you actually gave me pretty good odds there. All right. So
I'm saying that if they go before the 10th pick in the second round, I win. You're saying one of those guys are going to slip past the 10th pick in the second round.
I think that's what you're saying. In the first 10 picks, all five guys, so every other pick, they got to get one of those guys.
They'll be gone.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the second round mock draft. We're going to do really quickly. This is rapid fire. We're going to chit chat this one. But let's match up some names to some teams here. Pick 33, the Bills. Who are you taking?
A.D. Mitchell.
I know the Cole thing is a factor. Why would you take him over Ladd?
I think Ladd's a slot only. I think A.D. Mitchell can play outside. I think they need an outside vertical guy, a big guy that can get down the field.
Well, to quote Ricky Spielman here, Ricky Pearsall Spielman, if I'm the Patriots, I'm dancing in the streets because I'm taking Ladd McConkey at 34?
Perfect.
Okay. All right. All right. So that's two of your guys gone in the two picks.
Well, that'll be interesting because this is all happening within the division.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to win this bet, too. The Cardinals are going to take Cooper DeJean.
In a heartbeat.
Dang it to heck. Because they got Darius Robinson. This is going to be a great draft for the Cardinals.
Although, I wouldn't be surprised if it may be Kool-Aid
as well.
It'll
be Kool-Aid. That's right.
It'll be one of those two guys.
Oh, man. Debo, cut out the part about where I accepted this bet. All right. there were some rumors on the social medias by a local Washington beat reporter, I believe, that the Commanders were trying to trade back up into the first round. They didn't get there. They're currently at 36. What else could they be looking for? Offensive line is a huge need.
Offensive line could be a go-to. We don't have any of those in those names that you had mentioned.
So let me throw some out here. Kingsley Sumatea is still out there. I didn't like him in the top 40-ish, but some people did. Jackson Powers Johnson, who we talked about forever, slipped out of the first round. So those are two options if you're considering those guys.
Yeah.
Braden Fisk, Ennis Rakestraw as well.
Yeah. I mean, how can you argue with any of those players? They can use them all. They can use Jackson Powers Johnson. You talk about a tone setter on that offensive line. Braden Fisk. Are you talking about Johnny Newton still there? they have their pick of the litter, and they're going to get a great player no matter what direction they go.
And then the Chargers are there at 37. They got Joe Alt. They didn't trade down. Wide receiver is a huge need. So, again, if Ladd happens to slip, he ain't getting past here. Oh, my gosh.
No.
And let's see. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Who are some other wide receivers that could be available? My brain is fried. Xavier Leggett went. Ricky Pearsall went. Who are some of the other guys?
Oh, you got all the kids from
Oregon. Yeah. So you can't see that. Troy Franklin. Keon Coleman's there.
Yeah.
Jalen Polk. Malachi Corley. Sweet mercy. Okay, this is – tomorrow's going to be fun.
Yes.
Tennessee Titans, they got – who'd they take? J.C.? They took J.C. Latham.
Yep.
I mean, they're going to find a burner. They need a little speed. So,
oh, add another weapon for Will Levis.
Troy Franklin could be an option there. Keon Coleman. Holy Moses. All right. So that's an option. And the Panthers are back on the clock at 39. So they didn't have to worry about that 39th pick going anywhere when they moved up from 33 to 32. And all right. Debo wants some legit picks for the Panthers here at 39 as we try to get here so we can.
Are there any edge rushers left?
Of course there are. Now,
let's see who they have.
Braylon Trice is a little too rich for you at this point, right?
Yep.
Let me open up my front board here, Rick. Let's see who we got. So at edge rush, we got the old front board. Go to defense here. I would be fired already. Chris Braswell?
Yeah, I think that's too rich. Maybe they go
Adisa Isaac?
I still think those guys aren't top 10 picks.
Okay.
In the top of the second. They'll go in the second round, but too early for me, especially with the talent that's still available on that board. They can go best available player. They did take the receiver. I don't think, they went and spent a lot of money on the offensive line during free agency. So I look for him to go defense. I don't know if there's an edge rusher that fits into that. But if a corner like a Kool-Aid slips or any of those guys slip, those guys aren't going to go past the Carolina Panthers.
What about Jaden Hicks, for example? Or
too high.
Too high for Jaden?
You love him. No.
Oh, I got it.
Who?
And I'm going to, Debo, this could be 37 for the Chargers as well. I heard this a few weeks ago. The Chargers and Panthers both love Mucky Sanders still.
Oh, okay.
The nickel Michigan.
Corner out of Michigan.
He can play outside, but he's undersized. But he's one tough hombre, to quote Rick Spielman.
Yeah, very good football player, former receiver that moved over to the defensive end. Yes. For a little guy, and they had a lot of good talent on that Michigan defense. He was a tone setter, in my opinion, for that defensive unit that won the national championship.
What about the Chargers, without looking at their needs off the top of my head, but
receiver. They need some receiver help. We know that.
All right, one last pick. The Commanders at 40.
Oh, I'm going to go with a Dan Quinn pick here. Defensive side of the ball.
Let me guess. It's not going to be Braden Fisk.
Braden Fisk.
With those two guys on the interior, you add them?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're right. They got a lot of money in those two guys. I don't know if they extended both of them or just one of them.
I think – oh, here's the thing. I'll save you. Maybe they go corner if we don't want to take Braden Fisk there. Packers at 41 at 42, and we'll end on this. Braden Fisk can't get past the Texans, I feel like. I heard they like Mike Hall. Would you take Braden Fisk or Mike Hall?
Braden Fisk. He's just a more every down type defensive tackle. To me, Braden Fisk, and I made that comparison, is my Geno Atkins.
Yeah, that works. Because Geno had shortish arms. He was sort of an ill-fitting.
Wasn't as tall
as
Fisk, but had the same arm length.
All right, so we'll do the Packers here, just to be fair. They're 41, the pick before the 42 Texans. Take our Braden Fisk there. They got Jordan Morgan. They need help at cornerback, safety. You don't want to take Jaden Hicks there. That's too rich. Cornerback Rakestraw is still available. We still haven't had it. I mean, if Cooper DeJean lasts up till 41, that's an absolute grand slam.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Max Melton?
A little rich, but I'm a huge Max Melton fan.
And guess who where his brother plays?
Green Bay?
Yeah. So
ironic.
They could carpool together. All right, Rick, you did it. I'm very proud of you. It is 2:03 a.m. Eastern. We gave you 45 minutes of all we got and then some. I'm going to be putting Rick on the little dolly cart to get you in the car like Bernie Lomax. Thanks to Debo for producing. Thanks to Taylor for helping us out, set all this up here. We're on obviously up here in Stanford at the studio. So tomorrow, or today, later today, 2 p.m. we'll be on at CBS Sports Network. You can watch us there doing the pre-draft show, talking about all these second and third round picks we expect from off the board. And then we'll be back here 22 hours from now, recapping day two. So thanks so much, you guys.
22 hours from now, 12 hours from now. 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, right?
Yeah, but then we're going to do the recap pod, too.
Oh, after, great. After I'm looking forward to these 2 a.m. mornings with you.
There's going to be a lot of naps in Rick's future.
Last time I was up this late was my sophomore year in college, and I'll never do it again.
That's not even an exaggeration. Thank you, Debo, for producing. Thank you, Taylor, for helping out. Thanks to my guy, Rick, for staying up late with us. And thanks to all you guys who watch, listen, and leave us comments. We'll be back here. According to Rick,
can you wrap 12, it up? I'm tired. Let's go to bed.
12
thank
hours.
You. Yes. Thank you.
Way to go, first round.